You're listening to Business Lunch with Roland Fraser. This is your seat at the table.
Welcome to the show. This is Darren, the producer. So today we are doing a bonus episode, which is more from yesterday's live Zoom call with Roland and Jay Abraham, where they are answering questions from entrepreneurs on how to pivot and respond during these tough times.
Matt, who we got next?
I've got one coming up. He actually shot me the question, so I'll just read it out loud. It's John Stein, and he wanted to know how far to plan for today. While in crisis mode, should be 7 days, 30 days, 6 months, and how not to make snap decisions that may be overtaken by events.
I'll give you the first of that. Was it John?
Yes.
Okay, I'll give you the first of that, John. Is if you look at turnarounds, when we go into a turnaround, it's pretty standard. You do a 14-day inflows and outflows of cash analysis. That's 14 days. You watch that, everything that comes in, everything that comes out, and then you work on accelerating inflows and decelerating outflows so that you end up at least even and you're not going cash negative during that time. Then you look at a 90-day after that. So you'll do that 12-week, week-by-week analysis after that. So you'll be projecting that out, looking at what you think is going to come in. Then what's the certainty that you have that it's going to come in? Multiply one by the other. That gives you your adjusted, most likely probable revenue. And then look at your outflows that would come week by week during that period too. Do it on an Excel spreadsheet or a Google sheet even. That's really what happens from the best people who are doing turnarounds. And Matt, was there a second part to the question?
And how not to make snap decisions that may be overtaken by events.
All right, Jay, you want to take the second?
Jeez. I thought your answer was fabulous. I mean, the best way to not make snap decisions is to start with grounding yourself. And really, you got to embrace it, you know, in a proactive and a strategic manner. And I think that Roland probably gave you better advice than I would in this kind of a situation. But the first thing I want to know is what kind of business you're in. Are you in a business where you have a product or service that's still being purchased, whether it's being purchased in the same way or in the same level, or is it a product or service that's been frozen? I mean, without those kind of answers, I don't think giving you a context of that, answering that question is going to be meaningful. But I think to the extent that anything you've got that's static, you could turn into something that's not necessarily perpetual, but ongoing. You can turn purchases into regular monthly purchases, change the form or the terms or the structure.
I think, just in terms, John, to not make snap decisions, you should buy the audio or Kindle version of Keith Cunningham's book, The Road Less Stupid. He talks in that a lot about thinking. And I know Jay and I are both big fans, and a lot of folks we know, of taking time to think. So the best way to not make snap decisions is to get in the habit of not making snap decisions. How do you do that? You say, I am from this point forward going to think for at least a night about what's going to happen. And I'm not going to make a decision until I've done that on the next morning. Then set aside an hour or an hour and a half to sit alone in a room without distractions and actually think about the things that you're going to be making decisions on. I think it's just training yourself to have the discipline to put mental strategic thought into things before you make those decisions.
And Roland, this is a generality. I mean, ever there was a time that you need to create masterful thinking partners, whether they're advisors, whether they're mentors, and you need people who basically, if you're the smart, it's trite, it's not original. If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. You need people who have context and perspective that you can distill and reflect. I mean, my skill, Roland's skill, Roland, I don't know how many, you know, turnarounds, how many exits you've had. I haven't that quite, but I have 1,000 industries. When you have people that have been exposed to so many expansive scenarios and dynamics, they have a more mature and a more not just historic, but also a more expansive perspective. Don't try to make yourself an island in this kind of environment.
Yeah. All right. We've got Christine Haas with a question. Christine, I've got you unmuted so you can ask a question.
Thank you so much for putting this together. I'll try to keep this really short. For those who don't know, my business is getting media for entrepreneurs, people on TV, online articles like Forbes, that type of thing for entrepreneurs. And recently, I started to focus in on lawyers. I narrowed in recently to focus that way because I perform well that way in that niche, and also the field is financially strong. But when this crash happened, I started trying to find a way to pivot. And that's what I'm hoping for in this, is to find a way to pivot and make some money when things can get tight. I recently started a cheaper kind of done-for-you package of 3 guaranteed articles for online sites. And that took off well. It was like $9.95 for each person who did it. And mortgage brokers and realtors seemed to like it. And then I'm trying to figure out if I can still sell right now. I feel guilty at this point asking anybody for anything because I know that the industry is really struggling. If you wouldn't mind chiming in, and then I have one quick question.
I'm going to start with the first part of, is it okay to sell? Do you believe that you are able to give value to the people you will be selling to?
I do. Those people who get on TV right now are going to stand out in a big way because everybody's glued to their mobile.
And many people are successfully selling now. The world did not stop. It changed, but it didn't stop. So I think the first thing is that if you are able to give value to the market that you're selling to, then you not only should give yourself to sell, but you should be compelled to sell because you'd be doing them a disservice not to help them in this time when they need to have the exposure to sell their things to more people, because everyone is having a more difficult time, or most people are. And then the second thing is, in terms of discounting your services, I don't think that you should do that. I think that you should, your services are worth at least as much as they were before this, and probably more. And I know several people who are looking to get their message out right now, who have the funds to do it. And I know John Assaroff texted me just the other day and said, you know, I've got this whole thing that I want to get out. How do I get it out to the maximum number of people? How do I get massive distribution? And I'm willing to pay for it. Just tell me who's best, right? So there is demand for that. Don't let the media hysteria control your view of the world, the value of your services, the ability to sell them, or the pricing that you're giving to other people. Jay?
I mean, I get diverted listening to Roland. He's so bright. And you give great advice, seriously. I would say this to you, throughout all history, I don't care. There have been 47 recessions in our history, our country's history. None like this, of course. But throughout all history, people get rewarded for the amount of problems we solve. Our compensation is normally in direct proportion, if you do it right, the amount of problems we solve or the amount of opportunities we make possible for others. I have a colleague who counsels attorneys, high-end ones, private ones, small ones, but the ones that are basically taking a leadership role in their either fields, their markets, their segments are actually doing surprisingly well right now. The ones that are freezing are not. I think you want to basically not just say, I can help you, but also help them with their positioning and their premise. And I think that commands premium because, and also give them not just the static, let me get you on the, in the media, on the air, whatever it is, show them the implications now and how to leverage that strategically throughout the process, throughout what will happen. And then finally, I go back to this same lament. Boy, I would find everybody that has access to verticals, lots of the same people, and a lot of these people aren't selling what they want to. They will be very receptive to creating a group type of a disseminated process where people in 500 markets can use the same thing. And you could probably turn this into one of your most explosive growth periods, Christine.
Yep, absolutely.
That would be amazing. Okay. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Matt, who's next?
All right, we've got Jason Keys up next. Jason.
So I predominantly spend my time doing commercial real estate, and I provide capital for acquisition of buildings, et cetera, et cetera. I do have a boutique property management division, so it's like all in-house. So I help clients buy and do that. And the reason I'm prefacing with that, so you understand what I do, I helped a client buy a building recently, and we financed it. We got him the loan, and we're collecting all the rents. We're managing it well and everything. And of course, this happens, and boom, the emails start coming in from tenants. Hey, we're out of business. Hey, we got shut down. We had 30, 40 employees. Some of them are asking for rent abatement into July already, not even knowing that they'll need it till July. Of course, smart for them to ask. Other ones are asking to discount. Some of them are just saying we're moving out. Of course, all that. So I think it would benefit, because I know a lot of people have investments here, even Roland and everybody. So what, and just thoughts on how to manage the requests while still protecting our clients and making sure that they receive enough income to debt service the building and the expenses that require, and not get them to fall into a hole.
You've got a bunch of real estate. You've got people that are, I think, emailing you or contacting you saying, you know, hey, we can't afford this. So you're saying, what do I do?
Yeah. I mean, I've got some general ideas, but I figured, you know, I mean, it'd be a good question to brainstorm on for a minute here to, you know, decide.
How are you addressing it right now?
Right now we're honestly just looking at a case by case basis, but in a multi-tenant office building, for example, the one that I'm hot on right now, the minute I offer one tenant something, they talk. That's like high school, you know, next thing you know, everybody's going to, whether they need it or not, request it. So right now it's on a case by case basis. I've even considering adding a small confidentiality clause to anything that we negotiate and say that this, you know.
And what percentage of people have asked for something?
Right now on this building, for example, it's 40 tenants. We've only had two. So it's a very small, but I think we're just early on in this issue.
Yeah. Well, obviously the longer it goes, the more challenging it will. And what are they asking for?
Well, this particular, one of them asked for a discount. He wasn't clear on his ask, which I think was bad on his part from a negotiating standpoint. But the other one asked for 100% abatement, meaning free rent, for those who don't know, until July 1.
Yeah. So the two things I would think is, one, remember that percentage is small. That's a very small percentage overall. So that's a good thing, because it's easy for us to all get, you know, when three people asks for something out of 100, it's easy for us to go, oh crap, everybody's asking for this.
Yeah.
So always keep perspective. Then the second thing is, I had a good conversation with Todd Herman this morning, and he's, when he asked what to do in situations like this, I really liked his approach. And he said, same but more. So what can you do for these people if they were pay the same, that would be more than they would normally be paying for? And what Jay said earlier, I thought would be a great answer to that, which is, what could you do to help them that with their business? Why not be a consultant to them and say, look, I'm not going to lower your rent or abate it until exactly where you are. So the first thing I want to do is go through your numbers right now. Where are your numbers in comparison to where before? You know, because again, same thing, maybe it's only 2 out of 100 of their clients that are doing this. Okay, well, you don't need a reduction. You're fine. Right. Oh my God, everybody literally, and my income has cut in half. Fantastic. Let's talk about that. Let me see your numbers. Let's go through that. What does that mean? How much cash do you have in the bank? How long can you go before you're going to be negative? What are your expenses? Let's talk about what we can reduce from other people. Let me help you negotiate the rent. Let's say the rent's $5,000 a month. Let me help you negotiate $5,000. I'll find $5,000 out of your current expenses that you can cut, right? That aren't going to hurt you. But it's definitely going to hurt you if you don't have this space to come back to. And I don't want to see that happen. So I want to work with you consultatively to make that happen. And that's the more, you know, more for same. Then the other side of that would be, if they really do need help, then don't give an abatement. Don't give it for a period of time longer than 30 days. It should be a month by month basis.
Correct.
And then give a reduction as opposed to an abatement. So, you know, let's figure out through their budget, what can they afford to pay? Because everybody instantly goes to, let's just not pay. Well, no, how about if you pay half or three quarters or whatever? Those would be my thoughts. Jay?
Well, I mean, I love that. I would say that besides what Roland is saying, number one, if they're down and you get them up, you could even take a share. But if you perfect this, Jason, what's the scope of, what's the geography you operate in right now?
Mostly Southern California.
Okay. Well, if you imagine that what you're sharing is probably experienced by everybody, if you figure this out, you can turn this into a service. You could help almost any other commercial office or shopping center person do, and also see what the product is. I'm offended when anybody doesn't, first of all, say, hey, work with me. I'll defer it. I'll pay a portion. But also, what are their product or service? Get them to trade with you part of it and figure what to do with that. You know, if they're in any kind of business, you know, they sell something, see what the value is. Trade for even a multiple that you could maybe triangulate somewhere else for half the price. It's just a couple ideas.
No, definitely. I appreciate the ideas.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks, Jay. Matt?
We've got Nino up next. His tech startup. Nino, can you take it away?
Hi, everyone. Nino from Italy, Milan. Thank you for this opportunity. So basically,
I guess for where you are now, right?
Buonasera. Yes, it's your Italian is nice. So my question is, we have a tech startup here. We basically have developed a smart vending machine system, and we sell through these smart vending systems healthy meals within mainly office buildings. We have 200 customers right now. Mainly, most of them in Milan. We have always also one in New York, but let's focus in Italy. Due to the lockdown, of course, 95% of our business froze. So we decided to use our units to sell groceries inside residential buildings. So this is our first move. And the first question is there something that we can do beside this? We should push on that, or maybe after this crisis, this move can become useless. So this is the first doubt that we have. The second one, very quickly, we were working on our Series A funding round. We are VC-backed. And of course, investors right now are waiting to see what happens. And I also guess that they want to take advantage of a shorter runway to get a better deal. So how can we convince them to close the deal faster?
VC side, there are still plenty of people who are investing. I'd be happy to connect you to someone who can help you reach out to investors who are actively investing right now. They're typically looking for a compounded return of about 18%, somewhere in the high teens. So there's plenty of private money available, and the private money is going to be much friendlier to you than VC money. It's a little bit more work in terms of the organization because you have individual investors who are coming in as opposed to a VC. But the terms of the VC, you know, venture and vulture are pretty close together. So you want to be careful because they can get a little predatory now. And I wouldn't sell out and accept terms that are less favorable. I'd take your pitch deck that you've already got and put it out to private investors looking for opportunities right now, because a lot of them are having a hard time in the stock market. You know, they're not sure how far is that going to fall. You have a very staple business in that people are always going to want to eat. And I actually really like the potential of a pivot to putting your machines in residential places anyway and selling groceries, because there's so many people who are operating in competition office space sector, but there are for grocery type items in the private. So I'm excited about that as a pivot, and maybe I'll throw some money in. And then Jay, do you want to speak to the strategy on the first thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was thinking three things. Number one, if you have healthy food and people are all, and I happen to have been in Italy right when this started, so I have great empathy for you. I was in Rimini. But I think, number one, you might want to basically package meals that you could deliver, have somebody deliver interim. Second of all, given the fact that all the apartment buildings, all the commercial buildings are really hurting, you can probably negotiate whether they're leases or profit share deals much more advantageously right now. You know, the buildings are going to have to be deferred set up, but if you have them in place when you're trying to raise money, you might could say, hey, we've gotten deals that are even more, we get better splits, we got the best places. So I think you use the opportunity, if that makes sense.
Do you manufacture your own vending machines or do you get them from someone else?
We own the technology, but we outsource the manufacturing.
Is there an inventory of those machines that is not deployed currently that are sitting empty?
Yeah, 50 units right now.
So 50 units to me means that you could reach out to 50 residential buildings, talk to your, if you haven't paid for them or if you have to pay for them, you could ask for a deferred payment with consignment and some sort of arrangement to pay the manufacturer based on deploying these in residences. But you have a really great opportunity. So you have the ability to add a significant percentage, right, to your existing market. You do that. So I think it's a great opportunity to do that. And then how is your supply? Are you okay with your on your groceries and things?
Yes, we are right now. We closed the deal with Carrefour, which is one of the leading grocery chain in Europe. So they are supplying all the groceries right now.
And are you paying for those in advance or is that a consignment deal so you pay as they're sold?
No, we are paying in advance right now. Okay.
So I would reach out to them and say, here's what we're doing. We have a great public relations thing and you guys can hire Christine to get this word out for you, right? That we have a great opportunity, talk to Ford and say, we have an opportunity to be there for everybody when they need us. We're redeploying 200 machines, actually adding another 50 to residences to provide groceries that they won't be able to get. And if you want to shine like a star, here's an opportunity for you to not make us buy those in advance. They'll be secure in the machines. So you don't have to worry about getting paid. Pay you as we receive any groceries we'll send back to you. To me, man, you got a great opportunity to really light it up here. And you talk about getting your VC excited when you're able to do something like that. I mean, I think you got a great opportunity.
And Roland, I know we're at it. I know where I'm going to do an exemption for a minute. Two things. One are the 200 units, are they been deployed into residential or are most of them sitting in offices that can be repurposed? And secondly,
repurposing this. That's the redeployment.
And secondly, Jesus, you know, you might go to, what is it called, Carrefour and see if they want to be an investor. They probably might be the best source.
Yeah, because this is something I haven't, I mean, maybe you've seen it done. Have you seen this done? The groceries, the more grocery type things in a vending machine in a residence as opposed to snacks and unhealthy sodas and things like that?
That's the first time that we see something similar, at least in Italy or Europe.
Man, I think you got a tremendous opportunity. I think that maybe would be something that would not only allow you to blow things up during this time, but even going forward to be your new business model with Blue Ocean, only Blue Ocean.
I agree.
Okay, who we got next?
I've got Mike Zeller's question in here, copy down right now. So his question is, how much do entrepreneurs care about referral strategies right now? Or should I focus on creating mini courses or trainings on joint ventures, collaborating, and building exponential relationships?
Well, I know Jay is all set to answer this because he has like 1,000,003 referral strategies. We were just talking about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know, Mike. I don't remember. I mean, I remember you because Mike came to a program of mine a couple of years ago. I don't remember exactly the scope. I know you're diversified, but I think that strategic alliances give you access to tons of people. Referrals give you access one-on-one to somebody's network. If you want to default right this moment to, you know, pragmatism and strategic prudence, you'd go for what's going to envelop the market first and then go back to the second. That's just my perspective. Roland?
No, I agree with you 100%. I think that there's a huge demand for referral relationships. And my gosh, that's what we preach is go to centers of influence and get referrals. So that I would absolutely focus there and not be another course seller. People want is they want the thing that the course is supposed to teach them how to do. So if you get to disintermediate the course and the hassle and take it out and be the person that's creating that for them, to me, that's way more valuable.
And also, guys, really, the difference between a referral and a strategic alliance, an endorsement, a partnership, a JV, an exchange, it gets to be very nebulous. I think it's just a matter of figuring out who has access to the markets either you want or who has access to the markets different types of businesses or professionals want, and figure how you can basically insinuate yourself either for fee or percentage or whatever the compensation is in doing it. You can own the world right now. I always believed, here's the deal, in my opinion, if you do a strategic alliance, a relational capital, whatever you want to do, somebody's already sunk years, hundreds of thousands, millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions in the relationship. They already have the trust. They've already preempted you to get at direct access. Credibility is rapid. Closure is rapid. Scale is rapid. To me, if you can get involved in any variation of it, whether you're teaching it, whether you're doing it, whether you're doing it for fee, whether you're doing it for, if I were reliving my life, that's all I would have done. I went rogue on myself, but I made tens of millions of dollars when I was young doing it, and I just got fascinated with other activities. But we've done billions of dollars ourselves or through clients or colleagues with this, and the front money you spend is almost nothing. You only pay either after the fact or in exchange, and you get cash up front. Just everything about it to me is probably the most perfect strategy possible.
Yeah, exactly. Matt, we got about 5-10 minutes, enough time for a couple more, and then we're going to do this a little bit more. I'll tell you guys how we're going to go about doing that once.
Great. Yeah, so I got Derek. Derek, I'm going to go ahead and unmute you. He's got a question about an app that he's put together off one of his ideas, so I'm going to let him take it away. Derek?
All right, Derek.
Hey, guys. Thank you. So, Mr. J, I created an app off of your Icy Hot story. So we have an app that pays referrals for everything in the world, from restaurants to doctor's offices. So it takes a referral and it breaks it up with everybody involved. The person who made the referral gets 33%. The person who redeems the referral gets 33%. And the app keeps 33% for facilitating it. My question is, with the crisis we're going on right now with businesses, especially restaurants, closing the doors, only being able to do drive-through, curbside, we have reduced our 33% and increasing the more. So to give the customers, give businesses more customers, and give the customers cash. And like I said, it works for any business. I mean, we just launched January 27th. Businesses are signing up left and right. Should we take most of our profit out of it and try to help as many as we can, and then have a lot of new members come in the summer? I mean, end of this thing, or what?
I'll give you a quick sort of a knee-jerk response with a qualification, then Roland can. I just don't believe one size fits all. I think it depends on how it's applied and the scenarios and the industries. And I mean, a third is, it may be onerous to certain things, whereas, if you said to me, I want to sell a bunch of your products and you've got no real latent cost, I want a third, I'd go, sure. If you said, Jay, I want to get a third of you doing consults, I'd say no. So, I mean, I don't know, Roland, what's your feeling?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. It's absolutely. Mark Anthony, are you on now?
I'm here.
Oh, there he is.
All right. Hey, Mark. So real quick, I don't want to take up much time on here because there were a number of things that you guys were talking about that I think are essential. The pivoting right now, being able to go ahead and how do you repurpose your list, your people, your influence, and your products to match not only now, but Jay, really important from what you were talking about is what do these relationships look like in the forward and in the future? And that's why I talk about the future pacing. When you're talking to people, it's really important to get them to start looking beyond the crisis right now and what's their business going to look like and how you can help them with that and grow and being contributing at this point as well. The other thing too that a lot of people need is working with multiple types of different pattern interrupts, because right now there's so much media out there, social media and traditional media, that is gobbling up the airwaves, and they're still focused on the fear-based, right? And to getting people to go ahead and when people either get in that flight or fight response, but the money people go into the to where they stop, right? They freeze. And so if you can disrupt that pattern just for a little bit long enough and build these relationships, Roland, thank you so much for what you and Jay were doing, not only on this call, but what you continue to do and give out to people. And there's, you know, Jay's been a mentor of mine for many, many years, and we've talked about projects to work on together. There's still a lot of opportunity. And Christine, I agree. I wouldn't lower the price. As a matter of fact, back in 2008, September 29th, I sent out emails saying I was increasing my price, and I doubled my rate because not to gouge people, but to get people to get off their ass and say, I'm not buying. I understand what's going on. I understand it's reality. But at the same time, I wanted to show my value proposition. And by dropping that, I'm still able to contribute, just like what Roland and Jay are doing here. And so many people are on this call. We can contribute to build that relationship. We can contribute to go ahead and build the authority and credibility and being able to have that. But when we're dealing with people that are other influencers, we have realized so many people are going after them as well. And Roland, real quick on the thing that you were talking about, where you look at how you look at things differently. I have a process I created years ago, and I call it, what would James do? And I know that a lot of people on this call probably have people come to them and say, I need some framework. I need some guidance. And we give good guidance to them. But as Roy Williams has always said to me, it's hard to read the label when you're in the box. And so when you do that, sometimes you can't give yourself the same type of contribution or guidance. So I take a paper and I write down James. James is my avatar. And I write down three things that James questions me on. And when I do that, I take the paper and I flip it over on the nightstand at night. And I wake up in the morning and I go, what three things would I give to James on each one of these questions that he came to me as? Then after I finish with that, I just cross out James and say, act on it. And that's it. And it takes me out long enough to be able to get my mind to focus on those things. The better questions, as you would say, Jay.
I love it. I love it. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. Awesome. Jay, sure. Anything you want to say in wrapping up? And everybody didn't get their question answered. Remember, I'm in. We'll come back. We'll answer all your questions. Anything to say in closing?
We can acknowledge the elephant in the room. These are very, very unprecedented times. But throughout unprecedented times, adversity is always opportunity. And you've got to obviously stabilize yourself. But I urge you, there's never going to be, somebody used the word a land grab. There's not going to be the opportunities available for all kinds of collaboration, ethical exploitation isn't a negative word, growth, and you've got to be able to look not at the problem, but at the opportunity, which is the flip side. And that's all I would say.
Fantastic. Awesome. As Leo Shen that said that the crisis is opportunity in Chinese. So I love that.
Exactly right.
Ling So said that. Awesome. So thank you everybody for being here. And all of you who said I'm in, you'll get information from us for when our next call will be. And I really appreciate you being here. And remember, we are the leaders who have the ability to make change here for everyone who's freaking out. If we take a positive attitude and we reach out and help everybody we can, not only will it help change the lives of the people we want to, but it'll come back to you. And there's definitely something about this whole karma thing. So let's use the knowledge and the information that you've got on this call to reach out to other people and help them and pay it forward. Thank you for being on the call, and we'll see you next.
Thank you, Roland.
Bye.
You've been listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. And if you want to go deeper with Roland and Jay, just go to Facebook and search for The Strategic Alliance. That's The Strategic Alliance on Facebook. Thank you for listening.
What if 3 days could change the course of your business in 2023? Get Scalable Live is where you'll gain great clarity on the next steps that will help you create the business, life, and wealth you deserve. Connect with business owners and entrepreneurs just like you, hungry for advice, proven strategies, and necessary connections to grow a business.
Literally, million-dollar conversations are happening in the hallways, in the bathrooms, across tables.
Get Scalable Live at Fairmont Austin, November 2nd through 4th. Tickets are on sale now at GetScalableLive.com.